listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, gang. Y'all excited about today? Are you excited? Are you excited about today? I got you out of the house. Like, I'm trying to help y'all. And so, hey, it's the second part of our series called Real Jesus. And if you're watching online, make sure that you share this feed right now. If you're in the room and you have anything at all that you could take notes with, bring those out right now. We take notes. Why? We believe Jesus has something that he wants to say to us, to apply into our life and our walk with him. Well, the heart of the series really started in the month of January. It started at the beginning of this year when we all thought that we were just going to lose 20 pounds and we were going to be better at our one-year Bible, and then the world came toppling apart. And the series was called Finding Real Clarity. And the messages that we preached in that series were really a kit that if we applied them into our lives, it made it so that we could go through pandemics, recessions, hard times, and be successful Christians, be people that can come out on the other end giving glory to God. Can I get an amen, New Chapel? And we studied that, but I really thought, man, real clarity, that's a great way to start the year, but what is it for? What are we trying to get clarity about? Everything in our life focuses toward Jesus. And I wanted to end this year, I couldn't just do your average, you know, Mary, did you know series at the end of the year. I didn't have it in me to do it, just to be honest with you. And I'm not saying that next year, you know, we won't have a little bit more cutesy, but I just got to tell you, I think that people who are even doing well in the room, you're still going through what 2020 is. And I think that people that are facing real problems, real issues, we don't just need to hear about the nativity scene again. What we need is the real Jesus in our life. Yes, the story of his nativity, his advent coming into this world is so important. But what we need is the active, alive, current Jesus in our life. And I'm telling you, I could stand up here and tell you story after story of his power and his faithfulness. But this week I was on the phone with Pastor Tommy Pinkerton. And as I'm talking to him, we're sharing about what God is doing in the life of our church and in our lives. And he said, hey, I was going to be coming up north to preach for Pastor Josh Reese in Zealand, but he has something else going on. He said, I got a free weekend. And this is typical evangelist talk, by the way, because they're all free right now, just to let you know. But he said, I'd be free to come up. And I said, you know what? That would be awesome. That really resonates with me. I think that that's God. And I haven't had a break since September, everybody. I know that you guys like love hearing this olive oil voice and Guinea charm, you know. But it's good to break up the flow and have somebody that, I love this about Pastor Tom. He's totally different than me. I'm a teacher, preacher. He's a preacher. And he'll preach you in the corner, sucking your thumb. And I love that about him. But let me tell you something. Pastor Tommy has only traveled 7 times this entire year, 3 of which have been here at New Chapel. And that's out of a normal itinerant that's 30 to 40 Sundays. I just believe that in the month of December, we ought to have an evangelist in because it's not what you're supposed to do. I think that we ought to hear about the real Jesus active in our life because everybody else is doing the other thing. I think that we need the authentic, sincere, real message of Jesus more than we ever have before. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Stand to your feet. Put your hands together for Pastor Tommy Pinkerton. Pastor Tommy, take your liberty. Preach it up.
Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. Glory to God. Amen. You can sit down if you can. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look good. Considering all you've been through, just tell him. Amen. Don't lie to nobody. Don't lie to him. I mean, some of you did lie, but it don't matter. It's all right. It's all right. No condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Yes. So I was on the phone with, as Pastor Joe said, and we were talking and cutting up. And, you know, as he said it right, as an evangelist, you're like, you got a free weekend? They're always wanting to go out and preach. And, man, it's been wild, you know, with all this stuff going on. I've only been out and traveled 7 times. And as Pastor Joe said, of those 7, 3 of them have been right here with you guys. And there's something to be said about that, that New Chapel knows how to invest in the men of God. Amen? And you ought to give yourself a hand clap for having me three times. Amen? And we'll believe next year for a double portion. Glory to God, I'll be here six times. Amen. No, joking. But it is just good to be in the presence of the Lord. And up here in good old Michigan, amen, a land of freedom, it's good to have a church, hey, glory, that has got the doors open. Somebody say amen. And you ought to be happy that you've got a pastor that will say, we're going to keep our doors open if it hair lips the Pope. Amen. And it'll give you something to do. Amen. Since everything else is closed up, I was wanting to go to a restaurant, sit down and eat. And, well, anyway, I didn't. Say amen. Say amen. I'm used to Georgia. Down there in Georgia, we are enjoying doing whatever we want. Amen. Welcome to the South. Glory to God. Amen. But it is good to come up here because guess what? We are all free in Jesus. Amen. You can't bind somebody that knows the Lord. You can't hold them. You can't stop them. And if you know Jesus, you can't be bound. Somebody say amen. And it is good to be here on a December. I, generally speaking, I never travel during December. I take the month of December off. As Pastor Joe said, you know, if you've been gone for 30-something weekends of the year and you need a vacation. And I do not need a vacation. I have been taking one for the last however many months, but it seems like. But we're here on this December, and we're going to preach on Jesus. Amen. I don't guess there's a better subject to preach on than the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you've got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Isaiah, or turn on your Bible app, if you will, to Isaiah chapter number 9. And it is probably one of the most familiar scriptures that is being read this month, so I'll read it today. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Somebody say amen. I said, somebody say amen. I know it's cold outside, and the weather outside is frightful and all that good stuff, but you need to look to grab a hold of your neighbor, if it's your family member at least. If you're afraid of the Ronter, don't grab a hold of them, but grab them and say, wake up. You need to be awake, and I'm a Southern preacher, as you know, so I will call on you, and you will respond. Somebody say amen. I like you to talk to me, shout me down. If you want to get up and throw something, I can duck. Say amen. Amen. And if you really want to throw something, make it light and papery and with a president's face on it, preferably. Say glory to God. Amen. If you lay that down here like that, some churches, I literally been at churches that the tradition was if you got to preaching real good, they'll come to the pulpit and put money down. If you want to start a new thing, amen, just go ahead. Let the Lord use you. Amen. No George Washington. He'd been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, water baptized. He don't need Jesus. Ben Franklin, no. He need to be saved. Bring him down to the altar. Hey, glory to God in Jesus' name. So call and respond. Somebody say amen. All right, we're doing good. I like this particular verse of Scripture because there is a reoccurring theme within the Scripture as it talks about government being established upon his shoulders. It talks about the Prince of Peace. It talks about the increase of government, or we could say order. It talks about the throne of David and his kingdom. Then what? To order it and establish it with justice and judgment. And it talks about from that time until now, until forever and ever. It continually talks about order, justice, establishment, and all of those things are found in the name of Jesus. That all order, all establishment, everything is found in his name. And as we stand here this morning on this great December, a little bit of winter wonderland out there is getting ready to be for sure. We want to talk about Jesus. I mean, there's no better person to talk about during this time or any time for that matter is the name of Jesus. And I'm here to preach and tell you that if anybody can stand up here and testify about how Jesus establishes a thing and establishes order in a person's life, I can stand here with one hand on the pulpit and another hand on the microphone and looking you right in your eyes and can tell you Jesus can establish a thing in your life. Amen. If you don't mind, I want everybody to just to say his name. Say Jesus. Say his name, Jesus. You know, I've over the years, and I've spent, let's see, man, I've known Pastor Joe since he was 17 years old. And that has been a long time, and he's older than that now. Say glory to God. Amen. And now that tells you that I'm a little bit older than that. And glory to God. Good old, amen. I'm just in my 40s, heading to 50, closer now than I've ever been. Look at your neighbor and say, man, he looks good for that old age. Glory to God. But I can remember when I was 17 years old, sitting on the corner of my bed on a Friday night. My friends were out doing whatever it is that they were doing. You know, when you're a senior in high school, or actually I was a junior rather, and they're all out doing whatever they were doing. I was sitting on the corner of my bed on a Friday night, not like Charlie Brown. You know, why is everybody always picking on me? But I was sitting on the edge of my bed with a Bible in my hand. And I was asking God, God, why am I sitting here by myself on a Friday night? And the Lord directed me to Mark chapter 16, where the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, making disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, and laying hands on the sick and watching them to recover. At the age of 17, I had a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ. Establishing my steps, establishing my way, even at 17. I think about that it wasn't long after that I began, believe it or not, leading worship for a youth group. Why y'all laugh? Some folk laughed a little bit. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Started leading worship at a youth group because I ran into a man of God. And just went to this one church just to visit, and a man of God came up to me and said, man, the glory of God is all over you. And I'm like, amen, thank you, Jesus. I mean, that's a good compliment. If you can't say anything good about their sweater that they're wearing, you can just walk up to them and say, well, you look good in his glory. Amen. He said, man, the glory of God is on you. Why don't you come and be a part of our youth ministry? And I thought, well, the church that I'm going to doesn't even have a youth ministry. So, yes, I will. And Christ began to establish himself. I stood up. Our youth group had about 30 kids in it when we started there when I was 17. And by the time I left at 19, we were running about 250 young people. Why? Because, see, you know what? When you establish a ministry on Jesus Christ, Jesus will grow his church. It's not our responsibility to grow his church. It's our responsibility to handle what he gives us. And at 19 years old, I'm telling you, I'm standing beside the very man of God that said I look good in his glory. I'm standing beside him in Greenwood, South Carolina. And the pastor, we just had a revival in Greenwood, South Carolina. We preached Jesus to those young people at that first, it was a South Greenwood Pentecostal Holiness Church. Somebody say, my God. South Greenwood Pentecostal Holiness. You had to say it right. Holiness Church. I'm telling you right now, there are some women in there. Good Lord. Their dresses were so long, they looked like they fell off the back end of a covered wagon on Little House on the Prairie. Do you know? Amen. I mean, Holiness Church, okay? And I was standing beside the man of God. We had a revival. Young people were being saved by the literal hundreds. Kids were being filled with the Holy Ghost. We were baptizing them in Jesus' name. Revival was breaking out. I'm 19. I'm standing by the man of God. And the pastor says, Michael, how are we going to keep this going? We ain't even got a youth pastor, bless God. And I'm standing there past by. He goes, do you know of anybody? And Pastor Michael Knight looks around, and I'm standing beside the man of God. I'm there to serve him. He looks around, and he says, I think he can do it. And he points right at me. I'm 19. I look around like, I don't know who in the world is he talking about. I'm talking about me doing. What do you mean? He goes, man, that guy there knows what he's doing. I'm like, who are you talking about? And the pastor, Preacher Green, go, do you think you can do it, son? I'm like, Michael said, yeah, he can do it. And I went back home in July, went home. And in July, I started youth pastoring a church when I was 19 years old. But nobody told me that I wouldn't have a place to live. I drive my car and everything I had at 19. I don't have anything. I was living at home with my mom and my daddy, working at Kroger, being a carryout, a bag boy at Kroger. You know what I'm talking about? And so I go down. I didn't have a place. I said, well, where am I going to live? He said, well, you're going to live in the prophet's quarters. I said, oh, that sounds good. David, do you know what the prophet's quarters was? It was a large room. Well, not really large, but it was only one room on the side of the gymnasium of the church. I said, well, where's my shower? He goes, well, we have a basketball court, and we have men and women showers in at the on the basketball, you know, outside the locker room in the basketball court. I said, wait a minute now. Hold up. You telling me, you know, where's my kitchen? Well, it's the main kitchen that we serve the homeless folks out of. You want me to live in this little bitty room right here that's got a bed and a dresser. My shower is a public shower that the basketball team takes a shower in. And I'm going to fix my top ramen, amen, in the microwave that feeds the homeless people. Hey, when you serve Jesus, sometimes you end up in a place where you didn't think you'd be. You know, all these guys, these pre-Madonnas, Pastor Joe, you know what I'm talking about. These young folks and these people who think serving Jesus is going to live in a mansion. Amen. And everything's going to be nice and rosy. But you know what? When you get a hold of the real Jesus, he'll take you some places where you're going to need him in order to make it. He'll never lead you somewhere where you won't need him. He will always take you to a place that is going to cause you to have to lean on Jesus even more. And his government shall be established in your life when you lean on Jesus. 19-year-old boy living in a little square room with nothing else but only Jesus. I always think about the times that we're living in right now and all of the things that are happening, but I think about what I've already been through. Makes 2020 look like a Presbyterian picnic. Say amen. You know, we're like, oh, I don't believe 2020 has been so terrible. Really? I was living in a square little room with nothing but a bed. But I had one thing. I had one thing, though, to my credit. I had Jesus. And when you've got a hold of Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're living in a square box, taking a bath, a shower, and a public shower, and using a public cafeteria to eat. If you've got Jesus in your life, you've got every single solitary thing that you need. Glory to God. Then we did that, and we had revival in that youth group. I didn't know nothing. I only knew Jesus. I didn't have a degree in theology. All I knew was Jesus. I didn't have a whole lot of Bible learning. All I knew was Jesus. I just had Jesus. But one time we had a healing service, and I thought it would be a great idea to call a fast. And so I didn't really know what fasting was other than just don't eat. So we didn't eat for 3 days. Thought I was dying. Thought I was dying, and we didn't eat for 3 days. We drank water. All of my youth leadership staff, I said, all y'all going to fast. Now, in the South, Greenwood, South Carolina, if there's one thing we know how to do, that was eat. And when you tell them folk you can't eat, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about, but the devil is a liar. I know that ain't the Lord. And so I had everybody was fasting. We promoted it. There was no Facebook. There was no internet. The only way you could promote a thing was to go tell somebody. Hey, rocket science right there. Open up your big mouth, amen, and tell somebody about Jesus, amen. Social media, it's all cool. That's easy stuff, but the good stuff is when you open up your mouth and tell somebody, like here. No, open up your mouth and tell somebody about Jesus. Do you know we had a church full of about 300 young people that day in Greenwood, South Carolina for a healing service? We were so hungry by the time I was about to preach, I could have put the microphone on my stomach and it would have preached a sermon. But when you have a hold of Jesus, I'm telling you, people were healed of cancer on that day. People were healed of kidney stones on that day. A woman whose spine had been fused together by the disease that she had. I'm 19 years old. Grab a hold of this woman's neck who looked like Batman. You know when Batman looks around, he's like this. Looks up, looks down. That's how she was. And the Lord told me, grab a hold of her neck. I said, no, Lord. He said, grab a hold of her neck. I said, no, Lord. He said, grab a hold. I grabbed a hold of her neck in the altars, the music. Now, see, in a Pentecostal church, in order to pray for people in the altar, the band has got to be wide open. I mean, wide open. The music's going. People are shouting. And so I'm like, well, everybody else is shouting. And I grab a hold of her neck and bang, like that. One, two, I counted in my head. One, two, three, snap. I was like, either she's going to die or she's going to be healed. Amen. Either I'm going to run away and never come back to South Carolina again, or God is going to be good. And I'm telling you, that woman right there was healed and delivered. She started turning her head side to side. And when she started turning her head side to side, every old woman that was in the building went to shouting like a bunch of maniacs in there. Old school Pentecostal. We need a little dose of that in here every now and then. Say amen. But see, I know that Jesus is able to do it. He establishes a thing. He established, I go to World Harvest Bible College and serve the Lord and the man of God at World Harvest. And I think of all the things that we've been through this year, and I still, though, look back at what Jesus was doing in my own life over my course of my life. And I think about even this year. And I got to looking. I've only traveled 7 times. So, see, I don't know if y'all know. Here, let me give you a news flash. Evangelists make a living by the churches that they go preach at. Did y'all know that? So whatever New Chapel does, that doesn't go to Tommy Pinkerton necessarily. It'll go to the Ministry of Souls for Christ, and that goes into an account, and then I receive pay from that. Say amen. So go ahead and figure out in your mind, even if it's a small amount from a church, that if I'm doing it 30 times in 1 week, or not in 1 week, good Lord, that'd be a lot of preaching. But I could do it, amen. I did it one time in the Philippines. I preached 15 times in 1 week. Amen. I don't know. I mean 15 times and still had the voice I got right now. Could you imagine that? Well, that's a miracle, of course, to be able to preach, because every time I get up, I don't hold back and like build up to something. Matter of fact, I came out with both guns blazing, wide open, and I was like, bah, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. And I got off the stage, and Pastor Joe in the back said, now look. I mean, I was with you. I was with you, but my God, can you like build up to where you're blowing it up? I said, okay, I'll do my best. So this is what I'm doing right now. I'm doing my best to get to the good part. Amen. But this is the good part, because we overcome the works of the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, who? Jesus, and the word of our testimony. And so you can do the math, 30 times, 40 times in a year, down to 7 times. But you know what? Even in the midst of this, I got to thinking about my life in the last year. Do you know, sitting right about there behind this wood and behind that closet area, is sitting a truck out there. That in June of 2019, that I was preaching, I've told you this story before, on the Pentecost Sunday at First Assembly of God in Madisonville, Kentucky, where I grew up. An old man told me to sit down on the front row, and I sat down with him on the front, and he said, what would you do if you had $100,000 in your pocket right now? And I said, well, let me tell you. You know, anytime a man asks you, what would you do with $100,000, in your mind, you're like, maybe he's about to find out what I would do. And I said, well, the first thing I'd do is I'd give $10,000 to the church. Then I'd give another $10,000 to the church because I just wanted to do it for the fun of it. And then I would go buy a Ford F-150, a 5.0 engine crew cab, like the extended extra cab. Amen. Got to have the big cab. And I wanted four-wheel drive, power, everything. He said, I knew you would say that. And you know what? Sitting right out there behind the church, amen, is a blue Ford F-150 5.0 that is $58,000 car that last year that man gave to me. You ought to shout and give him a praise right now. You would be clapping more if it was your truck. Somebody say amen. You already know that. Man, we come into this year. I mean, I am driving. Of course, I put gas in it the other day. I was like, Lord, are you sure this was you? But Lord, if you gave it to me, you're going to have to provide the $79.52 it took me to fill this bad mamma jamma up. Thank God for them Kroger points. Glory to God. But I thought, you know, we're coming into January. I'm ready to go. I've got a truck. I'm ready to rock and roll. When I got that truck, it had 32,000 miles on it. And right now, sitting right there in the back, it's got 106,000 miles on it. I've been driving that thing like a bad mamma jamma all over this country. And then we get to 2020. And then that thing, it'd been parked. Going from 30-something times to only six times, seven times. I didn't know how I was going to make it, but I'm here to tell you, when Jesus Christ establishes something, when God has begun a work, he is faithful to complete that work. Jesus will establish himself in your life. I get on the phone with somebody right here in Michigan, and we're just chopping it up. We're talking, and man, he's like, man, how are you doing? I was like, man, God is, you know, when someone initially asks you how you're doing, you don't really know if they really care, so you just go with the canned version of how you're doing. Man, I'm blessing the Lord, highly favored, glory to God. Isn't God good? God been blessing me. God's been doing this. God been, you know, and then he stops me. He says, no, how have you been doing? I was like, man, it's tighter than a banjo string around here. You know what I mean? Then you're going to get the real story. You hang around long enough. I said, man, it's rough. My air conditioner done blowed up. It's hotter. It is hotter. Well, I was going, no more southern explanations for you right there. I was about to get them. Y'all have been like, what did he say? But I'm telling you, it is hot with sweat. Air conditioner blew up. Y'all know air conditioner ain't cheap. That thing was so expensive. And I told him how much it was. And he said, well, how much do you think you need? I said, man, it's only about $4,000 to fix an air conditioner. But I mean, you know, whatever. And that man says, well, look, God's been good to me. I'm going to send not Souls for Christ, but Tommy Pinkerton. Now, see, Souls for Christ got $1 million. I would still get the same amount of pay according to what has been set up by the board. But he said, Tommy Pinkerton, you know what he did? I got in the mail, David, and there was a check in there for $10,000. I'm telling you, Jesus is able to deliver. No matter what is happening in your life today, Jesus is able. Jesus is the answer for you today. Not only the answer for you sitting in this room, he is the answer for those that are on the outside waiting to find New Chapel, waiting to find Jesus. I thought about it. I was like, man, God is good. I told my wife, she was, you know, during this time, you know, as everybody in this room has been nervous, huh? Everybody in this room's like, man, I don't know how long, what are they going to do? They're going to shut down this job, we're going to shut down this. And I was sitting on the edge of my couch, and I didn't even tell my wife what had happened yet. I was holding it, and she'd been just, you know, just being a typical wife, and in these times, wondering what is going to go on. And I was sitting on my couch in my living room. And she's like, man, and I had the check in my hand. So I had the punchline, you know, of the story in my hand, but it's in my pocket. And I said, I looked at her. I said, honey, do I look nervous to you? This is like out of the blue. I said, do I look nervous? And she goes, well, no. I said, do I ever look nervous to you? And she said, no. I said, I'm serious. I'm talking serious. Now, she's like, oh, what is happening, you know, because she's like, what are you doing? I said, no, I'm being for real. Do I ever look nervous to you? And she said, no, you're never nervous. I said, do you know why I'm never nervous? I said, you see this couch we're sitting on? She said, yeah. I said, do you remember when we moved from Kentucky to Baltimore, Maryland, to youth pastor the church in Baltimore, that we didn't have one single solitary piece of furniture? I said, we left every bit of our furniture in Kentucky on the side of the road and put a big sign on it that said free. Went to Baltimore with nothing. And I'll never forget in a service just like this, around Christmas time, a man of God said, what have you believing God for? And I said, I've been believing God for some furniture because I ain't got none in my house. I'm sitting. All we had was a television. I sat on the floor and watched it. But I was going to the furniture store. Those people at that furniture, Value City Furniture, those y'all know anything about Value City? Amen. They thought I was insane. What do you mean? Why? Because every single day for a month, Pastor Joe, I went to Value City Furniture and I sat on this couch. Then I not only sat on it, I sat on it like this, sat on it, leaned back. Then I laid down in it like this, reached out like this. There was a lamp and a stand. I'd be like pulling the lamp on and off. The lights, blah, 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 blah. Do like this, sit down, lean back. One day I looked around and wasn't nobody there. I got on it and started walking on it a little bit on the couch. I'm like, I got to make sure this is good for my children because you know they're going to run on this thing. Amen. I was leaning up around it. Then I went to a little chair that was by because you know how they make you a whole living room suit because they want to make sure you don't just get the couch, you get it all because it looks good in their studio. Might look stupid in your house, but it looks good there. I'm doing all this. What are you doing? I said, I'm sitting on my couch. Can you excuse me, please? And they're like, what do you mean? I said, I'm sitting on my couch and don't sell this couch to nobody because this couch belongs to me. And they said, well, this whole thing costs like $3,000. I said, the price obviously doesn't matter, amen. I just want to make sure everything works. On a Christmas Eve service, a man who owned a roofing company, he has went on since to be with the Lord, on a Christmas Eve service said, Pinkerton, what are you believing God for? Oh, I'm just believing God's going to bless me. Hallelujah. And he said, no, be real. I said, actually, I'm believing God for $2,927.57. He says, what's that? Value City Furniture got a whole studio that I'm believing God for. And he just got to laughing. Big man. We went to the service, lit a candle, sing Kumbaya, my Lord, silent night, holy night, oh glory to God. Told the Christmas story. I walked out, and there was Larry Turner standing in his hand and said, come over here, Pastor P. I walked over to Larry Turner. It was Christmas Eve. We had done, did the candles, communion, and the king's gift. Somebody say amen. And then he said, here's a check. I opened it up, and thank God I knew the price, because there it was for $2,927.52. I looked at the check and this old white boy took off running. Hey, don't mess with me. It ain't your couch. I'm telling you, I left the church. Bah! I got to run it, and that church was big. I went around that thing talking about the walls of Jericho, bro. I was running around that church. I'm in the middle of the winter. I ran that church, came in. I'm like, my God, whew, whew, Lord have mercy. And then I thought about the goodness of Jesus. I took another lap in Jesus' name. Because when you trust Jesus, Jesus will make a way out of no way. This many years later, still got that couch because it wasn't cheap. I didn't go spend $27 at IKEA and get a cheap couch that's going to break next year. See? Oh, no condemnation. Hey, glory. I just had my faith out there. And I said, do I look nervous? I'm sitting. You remember this couch? We didn't even have a couch. And we're sitting on a miracle. See that chair over there, honey? That chair. We didn't even have that lamp. Well, the lamps are gone. They've been broke since because we've had kids and everybody else's kids in the house and they broke the lamps. It's all right though, amen. And we got the table and all the, and I said, the Lord provided this. God is going to provide for us in this season that looks like a drought. I said, I know God will provide, and I'm not nervous because my hope is built on Jesus Christ. And I pull out of my pocket. I set this whole thing up so I could shout some more, amen. I pull out of my pocket, and it was the longest pull out of a pocket that you could have. I was like, "Oi-ba!" I said, "Do I look nervous?" And I start feeling, I feel it today. I started feeling the Holy Ghost. Josh, when I had that check in my hand, and I said, "Nanette," I said, "never doubt that Jesus is always watching. We have been faithful over the years. We have been faithful to God. And if you've been faithful," I whipped that check out. And she said, "What's that?" I said, "Duh, it's a check." And I said, "This is from so-and-so." And she said, "Well, how much?" Amen. You know, my wife's like, "Well, how much is it? $500? I said, "It's a check for $10,000. Even my wife wanted to shout, but she didn't. I said, "It's a check for $10,000. Look what the Lord has done." Amen. She was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it." And I'm like, "Yeah, right. You can't believe it. But I've been believing for miracles from the very beginning." And when you trust on Jesus, even in the middle of a pandemic, the Lord shall supply your every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. You ought to shout right now. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. But man, the pandemic was just getting started. And what did I find out? Jesus was just getting started too. Glory to God. I was on the phone with a friend of mine that I met in a youth camp many, 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 many years ago in Chicago. I'm on the phone with him. I call him or just send him a random text. I hadn't called him in a long time or texted him. And he texts me back and said, "Man, Pastor P, I've got the Ronta." The Ronta? Y'all know about the Ronta, don't you, huh? The Rona, you know, the one that the Rona that is connected to every salt shaker in Michigan. So you can't even have a salt shaker when you go to a restaurant because that's a Rona carrier. Glory to God. I'll lick that salt shaker in Jesus' name. Give me a Shaw second. That's what I think about it. Amen. Hey, glory to God. Ah, I had to take that in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hey, front row, be quiet. And what goes around comes around. Bless God. Don't mess with me. I got the mic right now. Amen. There's that front row. There's a spirit on it. I thought it might have left when I got up here, but it's still down there. You know why I started with Jamie? Hey, man. Glory to God. I'm telling you, so we just believe in God, and more is happening. I'm talking to him. He's like, "Man, I got the Rona." I said, "What are you doing about it?" He said, "Man, I'm confined in my room. I've isolated myself in my bedroom." I said, "Well, does your wife come in there?" "Yeah, they still come and see me and say hello." I said, "Why are you in your bedroom? You're so stupid. Lord have mercy. Get back in there and just breathe on everybody and get it over with. Amen." And I was just talking to him, and then he said, "Hey, man, what's going on in your life?" I said, "Man, ain't a thing going on as far as traveling." I said, "But Jesus has been so good to us. He's faithful. Jesus is faithful. You don't got to worry. I haven't wrung my hands. I haven't wiped my brow and wondered how God is going to do it. I'm telling you what, thank God for Cash App. Amen. People have been just Cash Apping me. What are you talking about? People just blessing in Jesus' name." He said, "Well, how much you need?" I said, "I don't need anything, but whatever you do." He said, and he always cutting up, telling jokes. He goes, "Well, what about 10 stacks? I said, "10 stacks? Stacks of what? I don't even know what a 10 stack is. What do you mean? I'm not a gangster. I live in Georgia. I don't know what no 10 stacks. How about some 10 stacks of cheese?" And I mean, he keeps going on and on. 10 stacks of that broccoli. I mean, everything you could think of, he is naming all. I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't like broccoli." And guess what? Went to the mailbox a couple weeks later. As a matter of fact, it was about 9 days later after that conversation. Went to the mailbox. I saw it had my name on it, and it was written by hand. It wasn't like a bill or a credit card. So any written stuff, I opened that right away for myself. Open it up. I saw his name. I'm like, oh, I do it slow for entertainment purposes. open it up. I saw the name, and when I just saw his name, I knew something, David, was going to be in there. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I just shout, oh, God, yes, in Jesus' name. Ah, just do it. Like, give me some shout music that I have standby on my phone just in case a miracle happens. Miss Dawn, I got good old gospel, glory to God. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness, how he set me free, I could shout, 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 shout. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Sorry, y'all didn't get raised that way. I apologize. But anyway, I got it on standby on my phone where I can just go buck to the wild. Look, dude, you got red hair. Look at God on you right now. Amen, in Jesus' name. That's a spirit of ginger on you. Glory to God. There's a strong anointing on you in Jesus' name. Look. I got in there. I'm ready. I'm going to shout. It's on standby. Amen. Open it up. And guess how much? Y'all just, anybody got a number? $10,000. Amen. In a check. Glory to God. I'm like, how is God doing this? God, Jesus is able. And when you see that there is ground that is good to sow in, you better get yourself some seed and begin to sow it in Jesus' name. Because if you sow in a time of famine, I'm here to tell you, you'll have a harvest to reap in Jesus' name. I'm like, how is this even happening? How is this even happening? It's happening because of the real Jesus. I'm not serving a fake Jesus who has empty promises and empty things in his word. I have found out more than ever before in this year of 2020, in the midst of coronavirus, in the midst of elephants and donkeys. Amen. Thank God I didn't speak in the King James Version. Glory to God. Amen. In the midst of politicians, in the midst of everything that is happening, and vaccines and everything, shutdowns and closures and government overreach, none of that matters to me, sir, because I know that I trust in a real Jesus. And this real Jesus said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. I've come here to preach and tell everybody in New Chapel, you ought to be glad that the doors of the building are open, because Jesus is in the room, and those that are willing to serve him shall be blessed. There's a real Jesus in the house. Somebody say amen. There's a real Jesus here. I'm telling you these stories. Why? Because it's the realness of Jesus. I would be in trouble if it had not been for Jesus on my side. It's the real Jesus that'll bring deliverance and execute judgment and bring peace. And the establishment of his government is on his shoulders. What government? The government of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus in the gospel said, as my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's in heaven? Everything you need is just on the other side of the atmosphere. And we're establishing the real Jesus right here on earth. The real Jesus being established here at New Chapel. The real Jesus would not find himself a safe place and go suck his thumb. Your hat scares me. The real Jesus is as bold as a lion. The real Jesus will square his shoulders back and look religion and government in the eye and say, I will establish this thing. He will make you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He will do it. The real Jesus, the greatest man that has ever lived. He's not a myth. He's not even a legend. He is real, and he's living on the inside of those of you that have called on his name in an altar of prayer and accepted him as your Lord and Savior. He is more than just my Lord. He is more than just my Savior. He is everything to me. Jesus is everything to me. And this world outside of that double door right there is needing a Savior that is real. They don't want your pity party. They want Jesus. Wipe the tears off your face and get a hold of Jesus. Many of us have lost many things. I've got even friends super close to me that have passed away recently due to the coronavirus. Matter of fact, I was in World Harvest Bible College and just had a couple suits. That was back in the day where suits were necessary for church. I remember that day. Look, like that day. I like it. Amen. I like to put on a suit. Glory to God. And a man walked up to me, his Miles Rutherford's dad, Lee Rutherford, walked up to me and said, "Hey, go to lunch with us." And I was like, "Yes, sir." You know, a Bible college student, anytime somebody said, "Go to lunch with me," you're like, "Yes, Lord." Matter of fact, oh, everything's closed. Well, all right. He said, "Let's go to lunch." And then he took me to a suit store. I don't know if any of y'all remember the suit store Back Rack. It's a men's clothing store. I don't know if they, I think there was one, a big Back Rack in Chicago. There was only a few stores around the country, and there was one in Columbus. He took me there, and I'm looking inside. I'm like, I'm standing. You know those certain stores like Von Maur? Y'all know Von Maur? I call it Von Maur. Von Maur. Oh, wow, Von Maur. And you stand there and like, well, I can't even afford to walk in there. I was just standing, look. Back Rack was the same, and he said, "Let's go in here and get a suit." I'm like, get a suit. He goes, "Yeah, whatever you want, you can have it." I'm like, "What?" Well, I didn't even know. Have you ever been in a place in God you didn't even know what to want? Because you were so used to one thing when Jesus said, "Whatever you want, you can have it." You don't even know, Josh, what to want. That was me. I didn't even know what to want. Now, you ask me today at 47 years old and put me in front of Back Rack and say, "What do you want?" I'll know exactly what I want. I will break the bank. Somebody say glory. But as a 19, 20-year-old boy, I didn't even know what to want. And I stood there and I was like, well, I think this is good. And so he had to come and help me to show me what to want. And Lee walked in there and said, "You want this suit right here?" And I'm opening it up, looking at the price, saying, "Good God Almighty. My first suit was made in Israel." Think about that. Got it. That's back when Pastor Parsons was wearing suspenders. You remember that? You're too young. Never mind. Pastor Joe, he was only 3. Okay, so you weren't even born. All right. So Pastor Lee took me in there, and I got on this suit, suspenders, 2 shirts, 3 ties. I was in love with socks then. I got my socks on right now. Some of y'all might see if somebody's in jail right there. I don't know. It might be prophetic. But anyway. Glory to God. There he is. Well, it's a Monopoly man. It ain't Joe, okay? Biden, that is. All right, so anyway. I didn't want you to think of Pastor Joe. I had to think of somebody, and that's the only name I could come up with. So anyway, I was there, put on socks and everything, and got all this stuff, and God supplied those needs. And I remember one time in service at World Harvest, I got my suit on, I'm looking good, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move, and I grabbed that jacket off, and I mean, I begin to whirl that thing around my head in the glory and honor of God. Why? Because Jesus will even show you the things that you want that you don't even know you need. Amen. And look at this. This is a perfect example right here in this room. The people never knew how badly they needed to have a church be open. And here we are today. Every single solitary church, they closed, got the door locked around here, trying to make sure they do the right thing. And I understand. I understand. The man I was telling you about, Lee, is in his upper 70s, got diagnosed with the coronavirus, and in 10 days, respirator, all of that good stuff, and is now in the presence of the Lord. You just don't know how this thing's going to play out. But what we do know is that when you've got a hold of Jesus, you can stand flat-footed as Miles did in Lexington, Kentucky, when he stood there to give his dad the honor in the funeral there in Lexington, and stood there and said, "I know one thing for sure, that this man loved Jesus and he served the Lord, and there are churches planted all over the United States because of a man who had a generous and open hand in times of trouble, and churches all over the United States and the world have been planted because of that man." and I am a seed, or I'm a representation of that very thing. When you trust Jesus, I don't fit that Israeli suit no more. I mean, if you can imagine, I was even skinnier then than I am now. I think I even gave that suit away. But see, the whole point of all of this is when you serve Jesus, when it looks like all hell is breaking loose, Jesus shall supply your every need. You don't got to be nervous. You don't have to be ashamed of his name. You don't have to be worried about what is going to happen. Because, see, I'm not worried. I don't care who, what, where, when, how, or what. I don't even care. You know why? I trust him. Do you trust Jesus this morning? I said, well, two people. Wow. Well, it looks like we need a legit altar call. I know it's social distance yourself, but we need to pray. How many of you trust Jesus? How many of you trust Jesus? There are people in this room, Pastor Joe, that I've looked down at my phone and was like, voila, look at God. Amen. When you trust him, what's the Bible say in Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct your path. When you trust him, the real Jesus. I look at you guys and I think, man, when I was in high school, and when I was especially in high school, I was a full-blown wild man. I know you're shocked, but I loved Jesus in high school. I didn't care. I did not care who you were, what you were doing. It didn't matter to me if you was the principal. It didn't matter to me if you were just some low Joe Blow over here in the cafeteria. I loved Jesus. I loved him. Because I have learned that when you trust in the real Jesus, that he will establish your steps. You operate and function. We as believers don't function and operate really in the governments of this world. We function in a kingdom. I say we function in a kingdom. And when you function in the kingdom, sometimes the math ain't the same in the kingdom as it is in the world. Now, Common Core math is the dumbest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. Gotta draw 127 circles to know that a circle is a circle, whatever. No, I'm not talking about Common Core. I'm talking about actual legitimate, you know, math. Amen. It's not the same. Because in the kingdom, God can take something. You'd be like, I don't even know. I begin to add up over the last year and a half of all the things that have happened in my life, and I look back, I'm like, I don't know how in the world we have been able to do what we've been able to do in this season. But you know how I say that. You know, we always kind of say that, Pastor, just to be like, I just don't know how we've been able to make it in this season. But that's a lie. I know how we have been able to make it in this season. Because I said earlier, if you sow in a time of famine, that was a misstatement, even though it still sounds good. When you sow in a season of plenty, then you will have a harvest to reap in a famine. I've done this 115 times, standing right here with this same microphone with this busted handle. I have did this very same thing. One hand towards heaven, and the other hand towards the earth. And when you stand with one hand towards heaven, gripping a hold of that which is in heaven, and another hand towards the earth, you'll never have to worry about anything. Financially, mentally, spiritually, you'll never have to wonder. Because you'll know that the real Jesus will establish you. You'll be able to walk by faith and not by sight. And when you don't know what's going to happen, you can trust him. When you don't know what's going to take place, you know, we just don't know. But I have given up trying to know, and I just lean on Jesus. How many of you know leaning on him is the best way to handle anything in life? Just lean on Jesus. Y'all know y'all need to either lean on Jesus or move to Georgia. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Stand to your feet. I gave my heart to Jesus, so to speak, when I was 7 years old at Hanson Baptist Church. It was right across this railroad track that me and my brother grew up later when we could drive and we would jump the cars on the railroad track. One time, my car didn't work correctly because, Joshua, the transmission fluid, you know, when you jump a car that's not supposed to be jumped, typically things like a transmission pan might scrape on the ground hard enough to scrape a hole in the bottom of it. And then, I don't know if y'all know, but without transmission fluid, y'all can't go. Told my dad, I don't know what happened. The car won't go. He looks under. I come inside. The transmission pan is actually off the car, Joshua, and it's sitting on the kitchen table with a big hole in it. I walk out. I'm like, what is that hole doing? I'm like, man, what happened? And, of course, my dad said, the railroad tracks by the church. I'm like, he goes, don't jump it in the car. Only jump it in the truck. I'm like, good word. But even at that church across the railroad tracks, I heard that Baptist preacher preaching. Boy, a good old Baptist can preach on a few things well. Hell and Jesus. And man, I didn't want to go to hell, and I wanted to meet Jesus. And at 7 years old, I walked down to a Baptist altar, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And ever since, I have trusted him. Ever since I've trusted the real Jesus, I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 12, and I've been Shikamo shine ever since. Amen. I've been giving it to him ever since then. And that's the amazing part. The real Jesus, David, will never fail you. He'll never fail you, the real Jesus. Not the crucifix Jesus. He ain't on the cross no more. No matter how long you hold it and how many times you count them, the real Jesus will deliver every single time. December can be a time of loss when you remember. Maybe some of you are experiencing this season for a first time with the absence of a family member. Maybe it is a first with the absence of good people in your life. But you know what? When you trust him, even he can fill that void of that absence, the real Jesus. How many of you love him today? Can you lift up your hands towards heaven all over this room? Glory to God. Lord, I thank you, God, that you have kept us in your hand, your unchanging hand. Glory to God. Lord, there's nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody besides you. You are the one and only God. There's nobody like you. And God, we give our whole lives, our whole scenario, our whole future to you. We even give our past to you. And Lord, we trust you with everything that we are, oh God. We trust you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. We trust you with the season that we live in. We don't want to barely make it, God. We want to end strong inside of you. We want to end strong in you. God, we give you the glory right now. Maybe, just maybe today, you're in this room and you've never, ever accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never really said, God, you can be the Lord of my life. You've never given it all up to him and accepted Christ and shed blood on your heart. Because God can take with his shed blood of Jesus Christ, can take your black heart and make it white as snow. And you can make heaven your home, your final destination in this thing we call eternity. Maybe you're in this room and you've never fully been convinced by the Holy Spirit that living for Jesus is better than living for yourself or this world. But even in this moment, you feel like you're being convinced. If you're in this room and maybe for the very first time you say, you know what, I want to give my heart to Christ. Maybe you're here in this room and you want to do that for the very first time. If you've never done it before, raise your hand in this moment. If you want to just really give your heart to him. How many of you would say, you know what? I know this for a fact. You're in this room and you say, I need to give 20 to Jesus. Raise your hand. You want to give, you know, I mean, for that's everybody. I got both hands and my toes are lifted up. We want to give that to Jesus, Father. Provide the needs of your people like never before so that we will be like a city on a hill. So that people would see and know, they would see our lives and what you've done for us and believe you. There's nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, oh God. And Lord, we thank you for providing. We thank you for protecting. We thank you for guiding us through this year. And we're going to come into 2020 stronger, or 2021 stronger than we did in 2020. And God, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord in here in New Chapel, give Jesus the biggest hand you can right now. Come on, give Jesus the biggest hand you can. Glory! Come on, give Jesus a hand praise. Glory to God.
Y'all give it up for Pastor Tommy before he sits down. What an awesome message. You know, messages like that are so important because I want you to see that God loves you, that he would go to a cross for you, that he'll see you through years like this. High highs, low lows, he's always faithful. Amen, New Chapel. Hey, before we dismiss, I want to let you know something, that today we're having an open house for Chapel Ridge. Now, if you don't know anything about that, when you drove in today, everything that you saw that's gray, the church currently owns. And we own around 8,000 square feet of educational space that we're going to be converting into more kids ministry space for the weekends and then also a daycare during the week. I'm going to be jumping over there straight away, so I'm sorry if I walk past y'all, but I want to get over there to be able to show everybody. You're all welcome to come back there to see the daycare space and what will be more ministry space, and I'll be doing all of that before I jump back into this room in about 10 minutes to lead the second part of New Chapel Connect. So if you've never taken New Chapel Connect, hang around, and then church, I welcome you. I'm going to be back there. Grab yourself. I think we have like some snacks and water and stuff like that back there. Just check it out. Now, it's a work in progress, but God is doing his thing, and before you know it, we're going to have that change of use. Before the end of the year is the goal, be able to start the new year beginning to open this thing, and it's going to be pretty exciting. Listen, we love you guys so much, and we want to be able to share Christmas with you. Next week, everybody say next week. Next week is Christmas, and I know that we have family and friends that they need a message of hope. We know that, but also things are really tight. There are churches all over that don't have any doors open, and you know that you have family members and friends that they would benefit from hearing this message. I mean, people that are even far from God want to be in the house at Christmas. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? Invite somebody. Let's fill out this place and celebrate Jesus in a big way. Can I get an amen? We pray for you guys. Would you lift your hands for the blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you. Be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, love you guys.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.